To tell you more of Jesus is our desire today, dear listener. And there is no limit to the knowledge of Him. He is the Eternal One. And He is of value that is infinite. And even in eternity we shall never exhaust the fullness of His person, nor shall we be able to fathom the depths of the glory of His riches, the riches of love and of grace such as we were singing of. And the Word of God, which we have to read and to hold in our hands, and what we desire to turn to today, is just as infinite as Himself. It's just as exhaustless as a treasure of His person. Now the psalmist declares, "Thou hast magnified Thy Word in accordance with Thy name." And this places the Word of God, the Bible, on the highest level there is. I trust that we all realize this. The Bible is the revelation of God concerning His beloved Son. Its theme from Genesis to Revelation is one. It is Christ. Now, in the Old Testament scriptures, we see Him set forth in promise, in picture, in psalm, and in prophecy. In the New Testament, we see Him in person, in a present place such as He has for us in the glory, and also in future prospect. Now, I would like today to consider with you especially the Old Testament presentation of Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And particularly, I wish to draw attention to the way He ministered of Himself from those very scriptures, the scriptures of the Old Testament. In the Gospels, many times does He refer to the Old Testament scriptures. For instance, He speaks of Abraham. When He says, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, he saw it and was glad." Of Moses, He says in John's Gospel, chapter 5, "Moses wrote of me." Oh, how wonderful to consider that. Don't forget that the Word of God is inspired, and the Old Testament has for its theme Christ, as well as the New Testament. And then David. To David He refers when He says, "David called Him Lord." You see, He was the son of David, as He came, as according to the flesh, of the tribe of Judah. And in that sense, He was great David's greater son. But yet David called Him Lord, as David looked forward to the coming of Christ. And so all throughout we have in the presentation of the Lord Jesus by Himself in the Gospels, scriptures of the Old Testament fulfilled. I would like that you turn today especially to the 24th chapter of Luke, where we have a marvelous presentation of the Lord Jesus in His ministry toward two of His own. We read on this memorable day, the day of His resurrection, that two of His disciples, being disappointed and disheartened, hoping that the one who was there, whom they thought was the Messiah, would set up His kingdom, they were returning home from Jerusalem, dejected because He had been crucified. Oh, they were wrong, we know, and they allowed things that happened to cloud the vision of Himself. But the Lord Jesus is seen here going after them very lovingly and tenderly, and yet faithfully seeking them out. And I trust today that as you are listening to His Word, you will realize that through His Word, just as He reached them, He wants to reach you. In fact, if you are going to be blessed for eternity, as I trust you will be, and you may be, certainly you long to be, do you not? It must be through His Word. And it is the Word that comes from the Lord Himself, regardless of the channel through which it is sent. I trust that you realize that the Word of God comes from above, and He is the minister. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His present place in the glory, sits on the throne and is aware of all your need, and He longs to minister to your need. And He does it through the Holy Scriptures. He went after these two. He asked them why they were sad, and they told Him. And then, of course, He proceeds to say, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? They were looking for the setting up of the kingdom of Israel apart from the cross. In doing this, they were ignoring the plain scriptures that spoke of his suffering, those Old Testament prophecies that told of his death. They were not receiving them. They did not apply them to him. They were looking for the glory without the suffering. And then the Lord Jesus, at that point, begins at Moses and all the prophets and expounds unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We cannot begin to imagine the wonderful, marvelous exposition of truth this must have been. It goes beyond what we could even imagine. But nevertheless, we do have those very scriptures themselves in our hands which the Lord used. And we desire to turn our attention to the fact that in the law of Moses, first of all, what he began with, we see the first five books of the Bible unfolded. The Pentateuch, such as was given by Moses, is that which presents to us in picture and in promise the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, let's consider the promise as we get it, one instance of it at least, in Genesis chapter 3. There we read how God gave the promise, after man had sinned in the garden, a promise that the seed of the woman would come and would bruise the head of the serpent that had deceived Eve and caused Adam to sin, that which had caused death to come and reign in the world. Ah, this was going to be remedied by the coming deliverer, the seed of the woman, who would bruise the head of the serpent. Now, this promise has been realized and fulfilled in the coming of Christ. For when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, come of a woman. In Bethlehem, our Savior was born of a virgin, and God manifest with us, come to fulfill the promise of Genesis 3. This is one thing that perhaps the Lord unfolded to these two. Next, we consider the book of Exodus. There we have the beginning of God's dealings with his earthly people to deliver them from Egypt. In doing so, we know that the Passover is brought before them. That memorable night when the lamb was slain, the blood was applied to the side post and the lintel, and God had said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." It was an earthly deliverance for Israel. But what does it speak of? It is that which unfolds the work of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the apostle himself points it out very clearly. By the Spirit of God, who gives a commentary on this Passover from Exodus 12, when he says, "Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And then we turn to the Leviticus, and we find that all the lambs and the goats and the bullocks that were taken for sin offerings in the economy of Israel, in their approach to God, they all speak to us of the way of approach through sacrifice to a holy God. Sin had come in, and the wages of sin must be meted out, either on the sinner or on the substitute. And in the various, all multitudinous lambs of sacrifice of those ages, we see that which, of course, could not take away sin in themselves alone, but we see pictured that precious blood of the Lamb of God without spot or blemish or any such thing, which Peter speaks of in his epistle. We are redeemed, not of corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and blemish. Can we not begin to see how the Lord Jesus would take these various passages and how he would open to them their understanding of them and present himself as those sacrifices suggested him, he would say, "Now this is that which spoke of me. Do you not see how I must need die that you might live?" This is the truth, beloved friend. And when you read your Old Testament, think of it that way, for that is the way we are to think of it. That is the way Christ is presented. He is the Lamb. When John saw him coming, he said, "Now behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." This is our Savior. This is the one unfolded in picture in the books of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. In Numbers, for instance, we consider the time when the children of Israel were bitten by the serpents through their murmurings. What was the remedy? A serpent lifted up in the wilderness, and everyone that looked lived. The Lord Jesus in the third chapter of John refers to this as a very clear picture of himself. For he says definitely, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's desire is for your eternal blessing. He does not wish that you perish. He desires your salvation. And thus Christ was lifted up. In Numbers we see the picture. In the Gospels and in the history of Jesus and in his death we see the fulfillment. So you see how the blessed Savior would have perhaps taken these Old Testament scriptures and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He did not stop with the law of Moses. He went on to the Psalms, those wonderful Psalms, those passages that breathe the very utterances, the experiences of our Lord Jesus himself. I think, first of all, of the 22nd, where the words of the Lord from the cross are heard in the very first verse. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Oh, what a clear picture this is, a clear utterance of what was to be fulfilled 700 years later. This, beloved friend, is what the Lord would refer to. And when in that same passage in Psalm 22 we read, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Oh, what a clear reference to the coming crucifixion. This should have spoken to their hearts. This should have opened their eyes that the one who was to be the Messiah must die. He must be pierced, and he was. He willingly died that men might live. In the 40th Psalm, for instance, we see him presented as the one who said, "Lo, I am come. In the volume of the book it is written to me to do thy will, O God." And the Lord Jesus undoubtedly would refer to this, for he was the one who came to do the Father's will, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, to save all who believe. And then turning on to the prophets, the last of our four categories that we're looking at, undoubtedly, the Lord Jesus would refer to that wonderful gospel prophet of Isaiah himself. He's been called the gospel prophet of the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, a chapter that very clearly presents him as the coming deliverer for Israel. Again, 700 years before Christ came, Isaiah wrote of him. In fact, in the 7th chapter, first of all, we have the prophecy concerning his birth, born of a virgin, and that his name shall be called Emmanuel. This we see fulfilled in Matthew and in Luke. We have the fulfillment of it. We look back to the fulfillment. Isaiah spoke by the power of the Spirit of God to the coming event. And then in Isaiah chapter 53, we read, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." What have we here? But the death of the cross, the death of the Redeemer as a substitute for those that had sinned. Yes, you have sinned, you have gone astray from God. But the Lord Jesus has gone after you just as he went after these two who were going the wrong direction, and he seeks to recover them by the ministration of himself to them as revealed in the Scriptures. Yes, he was wounded for our transgressions. That fifth verse of that 53rd chapter goes, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is what he endured for you, and this he fulfilled at Calvary. We read that the effect of this ministry on these two was that their hearts burned within them. The Lord Jesus revealed himself unto them in their home, in the breaking of bread. He vanished out of their sight. But then immediately, what did they do? They returned to Jerusalem, and they voiced the experience that they had with joy. And as they were together there in that upper room on that resurrection day, we read that the Lord himself stood amongst them in their midst, and he said, peace be unto you. You know, beloved friend, the result of the ministry of the Lord and his word is peace. And this is what you long for. This is what you need. You need peace with God. And this peace you may have through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples to go forth and tell this message. And he says that through repentance and remission of sins, they should be blessed. What is repentance? Repentance is accepting what God says against you and bowing to it in sorrow, saying that you have sinned to him. And then remission of sins is what you will receive upon your faith in him. Peter tells us in Acts chapter 10, whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. Have your sins been forgiven? The most important question you can ever settle is that the forgiveness of your sins. It has been settled for you. God wants you to accept it. Calvary was for the purpose of your blessing. Will you have him? You may, if you will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, believing on him, you will be justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the result of his ministry. It was to these two on that day when he sought them out. And it'll be true to you today. You may know peace. You may have peace forever with God. You can lay your head on the pillow tonight knowing that it's well with your soul because you have repented to God and have the remission of your sins through his blood. God grant that this will be so for you, a peace that the world cannot give and it cannot take away.